That's awesome. My favorite part of this week's squishy was the bam. I was like, I love that. So yesterday, Merle and I got our tree, and I'm hearing some ringing, Brian, if you could. Got our tree, and we pulled up the box of ornaments, and I took the top off, and I had this JMU ornament that somebody had given us last year, and we hadn't used it because they gave it to us after we had our tree up, and I thought, oh, I can't wait to get this ornament up. And so I was gingerly opening the box, and I took it out, and it slipped, and it went bam! And it just broke into all these pieces. And I said to Merle, well, that's kind of 2020. That's a picture right there. Just thought, this is going to be a great year. And then, bam, the whole year just shattered. 2020, what a year it has been. If you maybe last year in Christmas 2019 or you yourself got a planner for 2020, it's probably your most unused wasted purchase, wasted gift that you got. The middle of March, our normal kind of went out the window when COVID hit and life shut down and it shifted all around us. Vacations got canceled, gatherings either got canceled or postponed. A lot of kitchen tables and living rooms have become school rooms. And screen time has become a lifeline to staying in touch with coworkers and to seeing friends and family. And initially, we're like, okay, we can do this. Like, this is going to last like a few weeks. We could do this. And then 1 month turned into 2 months, turned into 5 months, turned into 8 months. And it has been stressful for many people, to say the least. And on top of this, for lack of a better term, this pandemic stress, normal life has gone on for people this year. And there's been job loss and financial strain and marriage struggles and unexpected health issues and isolation. And it's a lot. You pair those normal difficulties of life and add them to what we've been through in 2020, and it is a lot. And we're simply, if we're honest, a lot of us are just tired. We're weary. We are weary of all of this. We're weary of not having as many options in life as we used to. Everything, for most of us, at some point during this year, has felt like the same thing day in and day out, because I can't do this, and I can't go here, and it just feels like the same thing. Mundane and rather ordinary. Merle and I serve on a committee here in Harrisonburg, and we were with this group a few weeks ago, and we were catching up with everybody, and one of the women just said, I'm just weary of this. She said, I'm just weary of all this. She said, everything is just so mundane. And I was like, oh, that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about at my church in a few weeks. But it showed me this isn't just a concept for a sermon title. This is where people are living right now. This is what people are experiencing. And I dare say that it's a sentiment of many of us. And so today I want my heart's cry is for the Lord to impart hope to us and even to rejoice in the midst of what we're in 2020 as we dig into the Christmas story and see that there is meaning in the mundane. So let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have not stopped being God in 2020. That though so much around us seems put on hold, you are not on hold. You are still living and active. You are still a God of hope. You are still our reason to rejoice. So Holy Spirit, come. Would you bring a new and fresh perspective to us in these next few minutes as we go through the Christmas story for many of us once again? Lord, show us something new to encourage our hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to look at some very familiar passages in Scripture in the Christmas story, and we're going to look at some participants who actually were in the midst of their own mundaneness when God stepped in. And he brought meaning into their mundane, meaning that led to rejoicing. And so I'm going to start by reading a very familiar passage, parts of Luke chapter 2. It'll be up on the screen, but you can follow in your phone and your Bible. But we're going to read parts of Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then down to verse 16. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And then verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Side note, when God speaks to you, it will happen just as you have been told. So this passage is really, really familiar to most of us, either because, you know, it's Christmas and you've read it growing up. Our adult children, who are all in their 20s, they grew up before they could open gifts at Christmas. Merle had to read the Luke 2 passage. And to this day, we still sit around and we read the Luke 2 passage before we can open gifts. So many of us have heard it so many times, either through Christmas time or if you've watched A Charlie Brown Christmas, Linus. Can you not hear the little voice of Linus speaking this passage? And so here we have these shepherds living out in the fields, tending to their flocks. They were not the landowners of the fields, and they didn't even own the sheep. They were the night shift slaves, the low-paid wage earners, the unclean outcasts. And here they were, their job was to stay awake all night to protect the sheep from predators coming. It was a very obscure role, not a lot of attention, nobody giving them praise. Very obscure. And can you imagine that their lives felt very mundane, very ordinary, not very exciting? And yet in the midst of their same old, they are chosen to get the first birth announcement about Jesus. They got the first birth announcement. There's a book called The Characters of Christmas by a man named Daniel Darling. Is that not the coolest name? Daniel Darling. And about the shepherds, he says, "I always find it interesting how God seems throughout Scripture to interrupt and show up in the middle of an ordinary person's daily routine. It's not like the shepherds got an email invite the day before, meet up at Field 1 for an epic event. And yet, even though they were caught by surprise, these men of humble means and reputation responded in ways that prove God's wisdom in entrusting the announcement of the birth of Jesus to them." How ironic is it that the shepherds who were doing their mundane job of tending to the sheep, basically sitting there and just looking around and staring at them, in the middle of taking care of these sheep, the very sheep that were going to become people's sacrificial lambs for Passover, were invited to go and see the Passover lamb. How ironic is that? And Scripture said it caused them to rejoice. They went glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. And just like that, There was meaning in their mundane, and it changed their lives forever. Another passage of scripture that probably many of you are familiar with, I'm going to read, is Matthew 2. Again, it will be on the screen, or you can follow along in your own Bible. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." And after this, then King Herod hears about it. King Herod was incredibly insecure, was afraid, you know, he wouldn't be the guy anymore. And so he acts like, oh, I want to see the king too. But what he really wants to do is make sure nobody threatens his position. So he tells the wise men, oh, go find this king and then come back and tell me about it because I want to go worship him too. Liar. So we jump down to verse 9. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Wise men, it comes from the Greek word magoi, which is where we get magi. And they, unlike the shepherds who were outcasts, the wise men, the magi, were a learned class. They weren't kings, but they were wise men. They were actually astronomers. They studied the stars. It was their job to study the stars and to interpret the stars for any odd things that were happening, or wow, these stars are aligning this way, and so this is probably what this means. Spoiler alert for any of you, there probably was not just three wise men. Sorry. Most commentators say that actually there's probably a really large group of wise men, but we get the three because we think, well, they brought, you know, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so one gift to one person. But actually, it was probably a larger group of these wise men. They came from the east, scripture said, which was most likely Persia, which is current day Iraq. And nothing that you read in scripture or that I read while I was studying, nothing indicates that these men were actively looking for the Messiah's arrival. We don't even know that they were Jewish, that they would have been looking. But commentators say that the area that these men were from probably had a lot of Jewish people in them. So just by being around them, these wise men had access to the scriptures, to the Old Testament prophecies. And so they were studying those prophecies in a very knowledgeable way, not because necessarily they were longing for the Messiah, but they were studying the Old Testament prophecies as astronomers. And so I can imagine that in the very ordinariness of looking at and studying stars, which is what they did all the time, night in, night out, they saw a star that they knew was different. And they probably knew because they had knowledge of the Old Testament prophecy. And they follow the star to Jerusalem and they ask, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Is it not interesting that right away they call him a king? I mean, usually as a baby, you don't say, "Oh, a king is born." You know, they say, well, like he'll eventually be a prince and then after that he'll be a... But they knew, "Where is he who has been called king of the Jews?" And so they chatted with King Herod for a bit, and then it says they continued on rejoicing when they saw the star stop over a house, and that's where Mary and Joseph and the baby were. And they bring gifts to him, and they worship him. How ironic is it that the wise men doing their same old job of watching the stars would end up following a star that leads them to the one who hung the stars and named the stars. It's just so, it's so God. And there was rejoicing and there was worship, and just like that, there was meaning in the midst of their mundane as well. And it changed their lives forever. I love how angels spoke to shepherds and spoke to these learned wise men. Two totally different classes of people, but right away, when the angel said, and we heard it this morning in the reading, this will be a sign for all people. And from right from the beginning, God covers all people, the poor, all the way to probably the wealthy and the very learned. So two opposite groups of people in this Christmas story, and both of them living seemingly pretty ordinary, mundane lives, and yet that does not stop God from making himself known to them. And it didn't stop God from doing wonderful things in their lives. And there's plenty of other examples. David, he was anointed king when he was in a field, just doing his shepherd stuff. Pretty mundane, pretty boring. The Samaritan woman, she's doing her normal, everyday, probably boring job, go get water, bring it back, and she literally meets Jesus in the midst of that. Joshua and the Israelites, battle strategy, walk around Jericho 7 times and then blow the horn. Boring, mundane. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, here she is minding her own teenage girl business when she finds out that she is carrying and will give birth to the Son of God. All of these are examples of how God can bring meaning into the mundane. But the question is, how does this apply to our own lives? I don't just want you to have head knowledge. I want you to be able to walk out of here and feel like that applies to me. How does this apply to our own lives? Because, you know what? We are not going to get an angelic announcement saying, you're going to carry the Son of God. The child has been born. That's not going to happen to us. So how does it apply to us today? Well, I want to say just a couple of things as we get ready to close. In this year that has felt slower, less mundane, can I just challenge you, please don't let the slower, less hectic pace of 2020 cause you to slip into spiritual lethargy. And I was thinking this week, I thought, you know how you go on a road trip and you're in the car for like 8 hours and all you're doing is sitting, and you get to your destination, you're like, I'm exhausted. Is that not true? And I'm thinking, why am I tired? I've just been sitting in a car for 8 hours. But I think the enemy would love to see that happen with us spiritually in the midst of 2020 that has not been as active probably and not as go here and do this, is that it's sort of slower in life, and so we just kind of get lethargic in our walk with the Lord. God is not looking for busy people. He's looking for faithful and fruitful people. Stay faithful to the Lord and fruitful in your walk with him, even if life right now seems really ordinary, less exciting, or mundane, or nothing like we thought it would for this year. In your faith, do you have the faith that even in the midst of a weary and mundane 2020, that there can still be an advent, a coming of Jesus into our daily lives? It's not like, oh, there was an advent when Jesus was born, and there's going to be another advent when he comes back, but in between, like, there can be a daily advent where Jesus is coming into our lives again and again and again every day. There's a quote from an author speaker, Paul Tripp, that I read, and he says, "If God doesn't rule your mundane, then he doesn't rule you, because that's where you live." Meaning, most of our lives are just lived in daily do this, and again, daily do that. And if we're just waiting for exciting, 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 a lot of our lives are just lived in the normal, ordinary, day-to-day things. So make sure we are letting God rule our mundane. Let's make sure we're staying connected with the Lord so that we can look back at 2020 and see how God was still writing our story. Not like, whew, I'm sure glad we got through that. Boy, now God can get back to work and do things in my life. God is still writing our stories in 2020. This year is part of your story. It's not your whole story, but it's a chapter in the story of our lives. As I was preparing this week, I felt like the Lord said to me personally, and maybe this is a challenge for some of you, what if the purpose of 2020 is not for God to do something for me or around me, meaning activity and this has to happen and this has to happen, but what if rather he simply wants to do something in me? What if this year, Sue, isn't about what I can't do, but more about what God can do in me? In me. And I know he's doing things in me. Thousands of years ago, the prophet Isaiah prophesied, "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. God with us. And at that moment, humanity went from being distant from God to being intimate with God. God with us. And he is still with us today, even in the midst of 2020. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is always doing something, even in the midst of your 2020. Kia, if you want to come up. My new favorite Christmas song this year is a song called Emmanuel by a young lady named Hannah Kerr, K-E-R-R. If you get the Grace Life and read it in my sermon notes at the very bottom, I put a link to the song. And there's a line in the chorus of the song where she says, "Emmanuel, he meets you where you are. He holds your heavy heart. Our God is with us all." And I cannot tell, I have literally stuck that song, put it on my phone, stuck it in my pocket, and walked around the house doing my laundry, going to do this. Like, it is such an anointed song. And so perhaps this Christmas season, your heart is heavy. It's weary. It's tired of all that 2020 has brought or not brought. And if that's not you, praise the Lord. If you're like, I don't know what she's talking about, this has been an awesome year. If that's not you, I am so happy for you by faith. I am so happy for you. But I guarantee you, there are people around you every single day who are feeling heavy of heart and weary and feel like this year has just been boring. I know some of you and what you're dealing with and your story right now. I know that's your posture. And I know me. And I know what I'm dealing with and with things I'm wrestling with. And so I want to give two reminders and an invitation as we close. Reminder one, God gives strength to the weary. Isaiah 40:29 says that God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. He doesn't increase the power of the strong. So yay, I am weak. I'm gonna get more power. Bring it on, Lord. And reminder number two, Jesus is still Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is God with you today, this year. Let's stand. And ministry team, if you would come up. Perhaps you're here today and you are feeling weary. You know what? It's okay. Church, please, I don't want this church to be a place where we all come in like, okay, I'm just gonna act like, praise the Lord, everything's great. Let's be honest. If you're here today and you are feeling weary from the same old, maybe life feels pretty blah. Your relationship with the Lord seems blah. Your relationships with others seem blah because you haven't been able to connect or you feel isolated. If that's you, then I invite you, after I close this in prayer, to come up and have somebody from the ministry team pray with you, to pray with you, over you, for a refreshing, for a renewal, for a deposit in your heart to believe that God is in the mundane. Jesus is still Emmanuel, God with us. Or maybe you're here today and you have not even yet stepped into that relationship with Jesus. Today is the day. If that's you, come up and let one of these ministry people pray for you and over you. Or if there is anything else you would like prayer for, after I pray, you are welcome to come up for prayer or you can be dismissed. So I'm going to pray the God's words of Isaiah 40 verses 29 through 31 over you as we close. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you give strength to the weary and you increase the power of the weak. I thank you that even youths will grow tired and weary and young men will stumble and fall, but those of us who hope in you, Lord, will renew our strength. I thank you that we will soar on wings like eagles, we will run and not grow weary, and we will walk and not faint. Jesus, you are God with us. I thank you that though so much has changed this past year, you haven't changed. That there are so many things we haven't been able to do, but we can still have relationship with you. So Father, I thank you that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You are with us in our day-to-day lives. God, would you, as we walk out of this place this morning, would you give each person in this room, give us a tangible testimony of the evidence of your presence in our lives this week, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you, church. You're dismissed. Please come up for prayer if you'd like. When you leave, please remember to take a bag of gifts. You can be blessed with them by yourself or use them as an invitation to invite people to our Christmas services. Love you guys. Have a great week.